You know, last week we talked about wrestling, and how do you have a sermon about wrestling without a tables, ladders, and chairs match, right? So we're going to talk about climbing a little bit today. Over the last few weeks, we have been looking at all the letters of Paul, and we've been using those letters that Paul wrote to the various churches as kind of a way for me to steal some material. As if I was writing my own letter to you. These are some of the things that I would like to leave and some of the things that I would like to say. And I wanted to make sure that they were biblical. So as I got into Paul, I began to see that. And I just pretty much wanted to take his words for his churches and copy that for you. And so we started with the sermon about unity of message. We talked at the camp about how we need to have the same message and we need to be proclaiming that same message. Rather than getting off in the weeds and complaining about the little things that steal our joy, we need to be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to be talking well of the church because this is our family. And these are the people that love us the dearest and that we love the dearest. And we need to always lift them up in good accord. We talked about how going into this new partnership that we need to be speaking positively of that partnership so that it has a good chance to start well and deliver us into God's will. And then last week we talked about the death match. We talked about how we should be involved in a fight for life rather than getting trapped in a ring with the devil fighting for our death, a battle that Christ has already won for us. There's no need for us to fall for his tricks and to fall into a place where he wants to trap us. Instead, we need to fight for life. And not for our life, but for the life of this community around us. We need to fight so that we can take this gospel that brings life to the people around us and how that should be our mission. And we need to stay focused on that mission. And today we're going to be in the book of Colossians and the book of Philippians. But we're going to start in Colossians 3, verse 2, when it says this: set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are here on earth. Boy, if you open up your phone or your computer and you'll see Facebook and you'll see lots of things, there are a lot of things on this earth for us to be focused on, aren't there? There's a lot of things here that steal our focus and cause us to miss what God is doing. But what Paul wrote to his church and what I would leave for you today is this: we need to be setting our minds on things that are above. And how can we set our minds on things that are above? Well, we've got to be focused on the things that are God's and not focused on the things that are here on earth. Right now, we need to be focused on what God might be speaking through me and not what these gentlemen are setting up over here to my right, your left. Amen? It's kind of hard to do because they are some good-looking fellas. This is an example of humility on the back end, or because he has the heavy end of the ladder, one or the other, and pride on the front. When I said good-looking, what did Mike do? Stuck that chest out and smiled and waved. All right, fellas, this is not a government job. Let's see if we can get this done today. Ooh. Thank you, guys. Because when we're talking about climbing, we're talking about getting closer to God, and I wanted to have an illustration of climbing a ladder. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And when I found this ladder in the closet, I realized this doesn't really show that we're climbing all the way to heaven, does it? This is a small ladder. How can we get up to where we can really make an impact? We need a bigger ladder, right? I don't know how many times Sarah has heard me say at home, I need a better tool or a bigger ladder or something of that nature. It's a trip to Lowe's or Home Depot, so I had them bring that in here, and I hope you don't mind. If you do mind, you can leave your pew and come and take it down if you'd like. Well, what we're talking about today is this, and what Paul touches on there is something that John Wesley preached about a lot, and it's this doctrine of Christian perfection. John Wesley preached and believed that it is possible for you and I to obtain Christian perfection, this sense of holy love while we're here on earth. In other words, he thought that you and I would be able to draw close enough to God that we could love like Christ and serve like Christ. And that is the thing that you and I should be chasing every day of our life. Now, there are some days in which we think we might be getting close, and there are some days in which we think there is no hope, right? But the fact of the matter is that if Christ lives in us, every day should be us taking one step closer to being more like Him. And if we're ever going to obtain this Christian perfection, which, by the way, is a foundation of who we are as United Methodists, if you belong to a United Methodist church, Christian perfection is a foundation, a hallmark of who you are, because you believe that the sanctifying grace of God is making you more like Christ every day. But for us to obtain Christian perfection, we have to move closer to God. We can't stay right where we are. We have to be willing to take a few extra steps along the way. Now, the world focuses on things of the earth. If you open up, like I said, if you open up and look at your news today, they're going to tell you all the bad things going on in the world, right? Rarely ever do you open up news and see a positive story. Does that mean that there is nothing positive going on in the world? No. It means positive stories don't sell news, right? We want to see the gore. We want to see who's in bed with who and who's killed who and who is suffering and who has spoken bad. We want to see people fail. That's what excites us. I don't know why that excites us. That's the opposite of what should excite us. But it excites us. And so the world focuses on all these things. But Christ has called you and I to something different. He has called us, and His grace actually compels us to rise above the mire of the world and seek the things that are good, the things that are right, the things that are true, the things that are of heaven, the things that are of God. And so we cannot, as Christians, continue to stay here with our feet on terra firma. We must be willing to take the step towards God each and every day. From the moment we say, I do, from the moment we say, yes, God, I will be yours, I will be your bride, I will give you my life, I ask you to be my Lord. From that day until the day they lay us down in the earth, we should be climbing towards heaven. And that should be our goal individually. And when we're climbing, we don't worry about who else is climbing around us, do we? Only if they start to slip and fall. We're not in a race, and we're not measuring which rung we're on. We don't look at our neighbor and go, look at me. I'm four rungs higher than you. I'm a better Christian. I'm closer to God. Jesus loves me more, right? We're not supposed to say that, but some of you do. Some of you are like, oh, you heard that? Yeah. It happens. We all do. We compare ourselves to one another. I have spent my entire married life comparing myself to this woman right here. And I think I've passed her. But not in spiritual things. She had, from the first time we met, she has always been the spiritual giant that I've always often chased. And I have found other people chase the example that she has set. But in Scripture, what Paul is talking about here is not for us to chase after Sarah and only climb as high as Sarah goes, but we need to climb all the way to the top until we are face to face with our Lord and Savior. Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15 says, do all things without grumbling. Most of us have scratched that out of our Bibles, haven't we? Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. That in itself is enough right there for us to say that that could be one of our most favorite verses. But then the next part really brings it home as to what we're supposed to do. We know that we live in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. We know that the earth, the world around us is pulling us down, that the enemy is having a heyday in our world these days, pulling our focus off of him. We know these things. But what are we supposed to do about it, Christians? We're supposed to continue reading this verse. And it says this next, among you whom you shine as lights in the world. I want to ask you this morning, are you shining like a light in the midst of a dark and twisted generation? Or is the world hiding your light amongst its dust and its mire and its trash? Man, we all want to raise our hand and say, I am shining my light. The whole world can see that I belong to Jesus Christ and I am different. But we also all know in reality, we're really not that much different than the world around us. And if you don't know that, think about how many times in the last month or two you've had to answer the question, so do you go to church anywhere? Because if someone has to ask you if you go to church anywhere, guess what? You're not. You're not different than everyone else around them. It should be evident that you go to church somewhere, because you should act like a complete and total idiot for Jesus Christ. Amen? You should be willing to be that bold, to stand out, to be different. But most of the time, we're not as different as we claim to be. And in doing so, our light doesn't shine in the midst of the world. Our light is drowned out by the world, and God does not receive the glory. To shine our light, we have to rise above the mire of the world. We have to turn knowledge into action by putting on the new self. And Paul talks about that in Colossians chapter 3, verses the second half of 9 and 10. In other words, what he's saying here is that we have to take this knowledge and we have to put it into action. So I am not picking on anyone today, okay? I'm not. So don't take this the wrong way. In this church building, we have an issue with lighting. And it's not something that anyone in this church family has the ability or the money to fix right now. Some of these fixtures that you see are bad fixtures. And sometimes people say, well, the trustees need to change the light bulbs. Man, if it was that easy, it would be done. Amen? It's not that easy. You can put a new bulb in these fixtures, and within a week, those fixtures are burned out again. The fixtures are bad, and to replace them is going to take a lot of money. And so sometimes we just have to make do, right? So please don't take this. I'm not picking on anyone. But it's a great analogy for us to use. Because we can know all there is to know about getting up and changing a light bulb. We can say, hey, that light right there is out, so I need to change that light bulb. I know what size light bulb that is, and I know that I can ask Jim, and Jim will go and pick the light bulbs up for us if I need him to. And I know that we can have those here, and we go up, and I have to wear a glove because Jim Black told me I can't touch the bulb. If I touch the bulb, it'll pop as soon as you turn it on. So I know I have to wear my Michael Jackson glove when I do this. I have all of this knowledge that I need. I know to turn the lights off first because that's always a good thing, right? I got it. I got all the knowledge, so I need to change that light bulb. Well, guess what? If I don't take that knowledge up this ladder closer to that light bulb ain't going to just jump out of my head and go into the ceiling, is it? I have to do something with my knowledge. I have to be willing to climb this ladder to change the light bulb. And so in order to change the light bulb, we have to begin to go up the ladder. We have to take our knowledge and put it into action. Children of God, you know Jesus Christ died for your sins. You know He's commanded you to go and share the gospel. You know He's demanded that you live a life that reflects His love for the whole world to see. But just knowing what you're supposed to do does not have an effect on saving one soul for glory. You got to do something with your knowledge. And too often in churches all across America, we come in to be entertained by the knowledge of God's Word. And we leave to talk about the knowledge of God's Word, but we never put it into play. We are a people without power. So what does it look like to be people who live for Christ? It means that every day we begin to climb this ladder closer to Him. We let the sanctifying grace of God take us up and make us more like Christ. Because we know that God lives within us and we know that He's saved us. And because of that, we're compelled to go forward. But here's the thing. There are some days, in all honesty, instead of climbing up, we actually kind of take a few steps down, don't we? Yeah, somebody cut me off in traffic. I may not be so sanctified as I thought I was. Right? But then there's folks like Chase Scott. I've played golf with Chase lots of times, and Chase gets frustrated sometimes. And when Chase gets frustrated, he might make his emotional feelings about that golf ball known in a loud manner, using words that may or may not be sanctified. Oh, but wait. Yesterday, he played golf with John Cone. And every time he got frustrated, he looked over and John Cone was beside him, and he would change those words into fluffy kindergarten curse words. And so along that way, he did climb that ladder. It was not by force. It was because John was behind him and not allowing him to slip further down. But the thing is, every day we have to climb this ladder. And you can say this morning, hey, I've been climbing that ladder for years and years and years. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not at the top yet if you're still here on earth. Amen? There is still something to learn. There is still something to do. There is still something to offer Jesus Christ of your life. You still have climbing to do. So every morning that you wake up, you give thanks to God that you're awake and you start climbing that ladder to be closer to Him. And so I was doing this and thinking about climbing this big ladder today, so I thought I'd go online and look for some safety rules of ladder climbing because that'd kind of be important, right? And as I read this list, I thought some of these really apply to our spiritual life as well. The first one, they said that you got to put your ladder on a firm, level foundation. Have you ever put a ladder on something that's not quite level? Yeah, of course we have. We don't have firm level foundations all around our house. And so what happens? About halfway up, you start going one way or another, don't you? It's not a fun ride. Our spiritual life has to be built on a firm and level foundation. It can't be too far to the right or too far to the left. It has to be centered on Jesus Christ. And it has to be centered on His Word. Number two, it said that you got to control your hips. You got to keep your hips inside these rungs. Well, folks, let's just be real. Our hips have gotten us in a lot of trouble in life, haven't they? We don't control our hips. We like to sway our hips a little bit too much. Not on Sunday morning, because other people might see that. We can't sway our hips for Jesus. But our hips get us in trouble. We walk into trouble. We walk away from Christ. We dress ourselves up so that others might see our hips. But we got to get to control our hips. We have to control our entire body. It's not just about being on the ladder. It's about the way in which you climb that ladder, which is going to ensure you make it to the top. And on a step ladder, there's that nice little extra step up there. Sometimes used for a seat. Sometimes used for that other foot when you're on the very tip top, right? But it says that that shelf is for paint. I don't know who wrote this. Evidently someone who's never climbed a step ladder, right? That shelf can't be just for paint. Even though it says it only support 30 pounds. Raise your hand. How many of you have been guilty of resting on that shelf before? Yeah. Thing of it is, that shelf isn't there for us. There's a lot of stuff in this world that is not there for us as Christians. And folks, there's a lot of things that we see, a lot of behavior we see in other people in church that is not there for us. And we shouldn't use it. Let it serve its purpose for the world. We have a purpose for Christ. And then the last one, it said you climb one rung at a time and you keep your eyes either straight ahead or looking up. And I thought, man, that is so insightful. Because so often as Christians, you know what we focus on? We focus on where we used to be and who we used to be. And we're trying to climb closer to God, but we're always looking back at the world. How are we ever going to see our progress towards Christ if we're looking at the world? Instead, we should be focused on our prize, because the world's going to entice us to come back down. And if you've ever climbed a tall ladder, when you start getting up to the very top and you look down, you suddenly realize how tall you are, right? And suddenly your knees feel a little bit more jelly-like. And suddenly that ladder seems to be wiggling a whole lot more. And in your mind you say, well, I can't stay up here. I've got to get down. But as long as we're focused on where we're going, we won't realize the enticements of the world. We'll be focused only on Jesus Christ. And if we focus on Him and climb one rung at a time, we will meet Him, and we will enjoy perfect love. We will enjoy Christian perfection, and we will bring glory to God. This weekend, the youth closed out their mission trip with a whitewater rafting trip on the Chattahoochee River in Phoenix City, Alabama. And, because I wanted to invest in our youth, and because, hey, they're going whitewater rafting, I left and went and joined them just for that part, not the work. I've been a youth pastor. I've done the work many, many times. I went for the fun stuff. And so at the end of this trip, we get out, and there's a place where you can jump off of a handrail. Some of you parents are hearing this for the first time. I'm not the youth pastor. I don't care. They allowed you to jump off of this, and I don't know sure how it was. Andy, 15, 20 feet? It was a pretty good jump. It wasn't huge, but it was fun. And so these kids would get up to the top, and they would have to climb under a steel handrail meant to keep you from being out on the edge. And then they would have to stand with that handrail behind them and ready themselves to jump. None of them were scared until they got on the other side of that handrail. Hey, you going to jump? Yeah, I'm going to jump. I'm going to jump. And they get up there and they, who's going first, right? Are you scared? I'm not scared. You go first. Well, you're upriver. Well, you're taller. Well, you were born first. And then they would jump the first time. And as soon as they could get back up the hill, they were doing it again. But even then, they would get on the other side, and you could see them hesitate for a minute. They were scared to let go of that rail and fall. They knew it was fun. They saw someone else do it. They lived. It was going to be okay, right? But they were scared to let go and enjoy the fall. And I think we're a lot like that. We are scared sometimes to let go and enjoy what God has called us to. And in this case, we're not letting go and enjoying a fall. We're letting go of the earth and we're the world rather, and we're climbing closer to Christ. And that scares us, because what happens the further we get, the higher we get, the closer we get to Christ, the more likely it is that we might slip and fall. We might say something or do something that someone else judges. Is it really too hard to live like Jesus Christ? Is it? What does he tell us to do? Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor. It's really not that, it's not that difficult. Look out for other people and see how you can do things for others. And give God the glory in all that you do. Are we just too afraid to let go of the world? The world's comfortable. I know how the world's going to treat me. And I know when I fall in the world, well, no one's really going to notice, because they're all falling too. We are too afraid to fall. We're too afraid to fail. We're so afraid to fall that we won't climb closer to Christ. We'll get to a place we can manage when we're still within reach of the world we left behind, and we will stay right there because we don't want to risk two more rungs. Here's the problem with that, folks. If we don't take another step, we're never going to reach our goal. If we don't take another step, we're never going to reflect Christ the way he's called us to reflect him fully. We will fall short because we're afraid to climb. All because we're afraid to fail. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Let's pause for a second. In a world today in which the church fights over styles of music, look what Paul wrote. Sing hymns and spiritual songs and psalms. Maybe there's room for all styles of worship. Just a sidebar. Some of you would say, well, that's just a parting shot. Taking one last shot at us, aren't you, Pastor Scott? Maybe so. Y'all are on the earth and I'm on the ladder. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When you go back one, it says, admonishing and teaching one another in wisdom. Hey, Chase, come here, buddy. Well, come on. Will you climb up here about the same height I'm at? You ain't got to wiggle it so much.
What? You're scared.
Control your hips.
My hips are facing him, though.
I want you to notice something. This is something I share with young couples when a lot of times when we're doing premarital counseling, and I'm encouraging them as a family to stay close to Christ and close to one another. If Chase and I were at the bottom touching the ladder, we would be, what is that, 9-10 foot apart? Something like that. As we go closer to God, look what happens. We grow closer to one another. Think about that for a second. In the life of the church, if we all pursue Christian perfection, if we all pursue a relationship with God, if we're all climbing this ladder together, we are growing closer to God and closer to one another. And what happens if Chase starts to slip? Well, let's be real. This is Chase. If he starts to slip, we're going to watch him, right? No. If Chase starts to slip, I can reach and I can help him. If I start to slip, he can help me. No one climbing the ladder towards sanctification and Christian holiness is climbing that ladder so they can look at the people falling and judge them. Because the higher in this ladder, the closer we get to God, the less we want to judge those around us and the more we want to love them. So why are we afraid of climbing the ladder? Why are we afraid of falling off? No one is going to judge us. Those around us are there to help us, to keep us from harm. But here's the thing. When it comes to sanctification and Christian perfection, there are no days off. You don't get to take a day off and go, today I'm just going to be like the world because it's easy. Today I'm just going to go out and I'm just going to sin as hard as I can. I'm just going to enjoy it for one day. There are no days off. It's always climbing towards him, but you're not climbing alone. And here's what we need to remember. If Chase and I were to fall from here, chances are the fall is not going to kill us. In climbing closer to Christ, Sin in your life that causes you to slip is not going to kill you. But I promise you this, if you never get off the ground and begin the climb, failing to climb will cost you your life. Because life is here in the presence of Christ. Life is at the top of that ladder you're climbing every day. You're not going to find abundant life on the ground. So what do we have to risk? What do we have before us but grace compelling us to climb closer to Christ every day? Philippians 2, 1 through 2. Chase, you can head down if you want. Well, there was a light coming off your forehead. I couldn't see the screens. So Philippians 1 through 2 says this. If there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort in love, if there's any participation in the Spirit, if there's any affection, if there's any sympathy, complete my joy, Paul tells them, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. If you have experienced Jesus Christ in your life in any way, shape, or form, if He's answered your prayers, if He's set you free from sin, then you are to join with the body of Christ and have one mind and be of one accord. It doesn't mean you're going to agree on everything, but it means that you're all climbing towards Christ every day, focused on Him with all that you have. You're seeking to obtain Christian perfection. If you love Jesus, move towards Him. Stop talking about loving Him. Stop talking about how much you owe your life to Him, and get up and do something. That sin that's been nagging in the back of your mind that you can't seem to get rid of, now's the time to take another step up and declare it's done. It's over. You'll never reach your prize until your feet leave the earth, the world, your past, your sin. Christ has called you and compelled you by His grace to shine like beacons of light in the midst of this dark world. Grace Point, I leave you with these words. Let your lights shine. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.